Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Okay, we just had a big lunch, right? So don't fall asleep. I'm going to make you stand up and do jumping jacks. Okay. I was assigned this topic, seek God and strengthen bonds. We're going to read some verses first, scriptures, and then we'll pray before we start. So,
click the big one.
Big one. Okay. Oops. There we go. All right. Let's. I'll read this for you. It's easier. Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? While evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh. My adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamped against me, my heart shall not fear, though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me up. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord. When I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me. But the Lord will take me in. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that you took upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And the next, Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you prepared this day for us, Lord. As we come before you, Lord, help us to be able to focus on your word. Lord, bless your word, and may your words be embedded in our hearts that we would follow you all the days of our lives. Thank you, Lord, and we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So the topic is seeking God and strengthening bonds, which is seeking God above, strengthening bonds among brothers and sisters. I'm a grandfather. When my granddaughter was 2 years old, I introduced a game to her called hide and seek. Right, you all know how to play that. She was only 2 years old, so I said, "Well, you have to cover your face. You can't look." And count to 10, but she can't count to 10. So her mom counted for her. I got a blanket in the middle of the living room. I just got a blanket and throw it over my head. So it's pretty obvious, right? So when she's ready, she came over and she was just feeling, make sure it is me. Then she pulled the blanket down, and I go, "Peekaboo," and she go, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." She was so happy. She said, "Grandpa, again?" And so I did that all over again, and I didn't change anything. I still went to the same place, do that, and she finds me every time, same place. So I think our God is kind of like that too. He wants us to find him. He doesn't make it hard for us, right? I can go find someplace so hard that my granddaughter cannot find me. But I want her to find me. I think our Heavenly Father is the same way. When we seek, he said, he will let us find him. So, what does...
I got it, right?
Thank you. What does seeking God mean to you? You don't have to answer. It's a rhetorical question. But I think if you, as we go through the sharing today, keep that question in your mind. What does it mean to you? I think sometimes... It means different things to different people, maybe at different stages of our lives. So if we go to the next slide, I can think of three types or three groups of people that seek the Lord. So the first one is from Acts 17:27. It says that they should seek God and perhaps feel the way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. This verse is taken from Acts 17 when Paul was in Athens. He was talking to the men in Athens. He was at a amphitheater talking to philosophers, Greek philosophers. And the people of Athens have a lot of idols. They worship a lot of idols. They built an altar for almost anything that they worship. They even have an altar for an unknown God. So Paul uses that opportunity. Paul said, "Hey, men of Athens, I want to tell you about this unknown God that you don't know about. But I know this God. This God is the one that created the world and everything in it. And he is the one true God. And you can find him. He made from one man. He made all the different nations, and he is one that you can find. And this group of people is the ones that don't know God, but since man is created by God, God has built into us this desire to find the Creator, right? So these people are religious. They want to worship God. They just don't know which one is a true God. So this God is unknown to them. But I also want to maybe suggest that even some Christians are worshiping an unknown God. Not because they don't know who God is. They do. Because they accepted Jesus. They accepted that he is the Son of God. But maybe they thought they found God and they didn't seek anymore. They didn't seek to continue to build the relationship with God. And so they stopped there. So that's one group of people. The next slide, it's the type of people that is talked about here is from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts. The second group of people represent those who are spiritually renewed and restored. They were once children of God, but because of their disobedience, they've been removed from the promised land, and their inheritance were taken away by their enemies. So Jeremiah was prophesied that after 7 years, after they were captured by the Babylonians and exiled to Babylon, after 7 years, in the fullness of time, God will bring them back. God will bring them back to the land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the second group of people are those, if we can see if it applies to us, are those that may have left the fold, wandered out there and have backslid. But now, by God's grace, they are coming back to seek God again and to call upon his name. So this is the second type of people who are seeking God. And the third type is from Matthew 7:7. But in order to figure out who is speaking and who are the audience, we go back to Matthew 5:1-2. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So this is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:6-7. The verse I wanted to bring up is Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will open to you. I am going to just leave that verse here for now. And so the third group of people are disciples of Jesus, or followers, or they're believers. So I want to leave it here because I will revisit this verse later. But you can think now, presented with these three groups, which one do you think you are? And you can also What does seeking God mean to you? Think about that. So this next slide, I wanted to just transition from here and talk about that seeking God is maybe, you know, maybe to some of you means, or some of us means, searching for him, or it could be searching for guidance. But I want to say that seeking God, the most important reason for seeking God is to build relationship with God. A continuously building relationship with God. So not because you already found him, you think that, oh, I know who God is. He's creator of heaven and earth. That's it. We're done. We know him. Well, there's a lot that he is infinite. How can we know him that quickly, right? And if a husband get married with a wife and said, oh, we're married. I know my wife already. I don't need to find out any more about her. He'll be in trouble, right, ladies? So, relationship. We can see that this is just some of the relationships that I can find in the Bible. But the Bible is filled with relationships, different types of relationships. These relationships not only exist between man and God, God and man, but also exist between man and man. When I say man, I mean brothers, I mean male and female. Maybe it exists between, it's common to the horizontal relationship versus the vertical relationship, except for creator and creation, because, well, God created us. Now, this may not be true in the future, because looking at what AI can do and people creating these robots that is lifelike, but I believe that the Lord will come again, because this is the Tower of Babel all over again. When God first created man, he formed Adam out of dust and breathed into his nostril a breath of life, and he became a living soul. That's the first relationship that God created, between creator and creation. Then God said, it is not good for man to be alone. So God created a helper for Adam, and here he created a peer relationship between a husband and wife, and also created this institution of marriage, which points to the future, the relationship between the church and the Lamb, so the Lamb and his bride. Here we see the purpose of the creation, of God's creation of mankind. God is building a family, his own family, and he has created a special relationship between father and child. So he is our heavenly father, and our relationship with him, that father sonship relation, which we last year we talked about inheritance, sonship, it's probably one of the more important relationships that we must nurture. Our earthly father may fail us, but our heavenly father is perfect. So let's look at the next slide. Why relationship matters. why relationship matters. I think without relationship, everything is just a transaction. Going back to Matthew 7:7, Jesus, in this verse, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. There are three actions here. The first one is ask. And then the response is, it will be given. That is, I think, most young Christians, when we first come to know the Lord, learned how to pray, that's what we do. We come and we request, we ask for things, right? Asking God, and God said he will receive. I think when I was a young Christian, anything I asked, God gave me, because I think that's the start of a relationship. But quickly it became a transactional relationship, because all I want is, God, I have a need. I need this. And when it's done, I go away. I come back. I ask again. It's transactional. God wants more than that from us. So I think Jesus in this verse teaches us how to progressively increase that intensity, that intentionality to build relationship. So the second thing, seek, is the next one. So these are ordered in increasing involvement with God. So you started to want to seek his will. You wanted to seek what he has, what he wants, to what pleases him. And then the relationship goes to the next level when you start knocking on the door. Because now you need more faith, you need more patience, you need more persistence. Because now you're a more mature Christian. God doesn't answer your prayers a lot of times immediately. You can knock on the door and you wonder, where's God? Is he still here? Knock on it. But God wants to build our persistence, build our faith through this process. So this verse, I think, not only is for us to learn how to pray, to ask and to seek and to knock, but it is also a progressively more for us to build that relationship with God. One of the things that I remind myself is that I don't become totally transactional or being sucked into being too busy. And I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing all of this, but yet forget to have quiet time. Forget to have alone time with God. So I think it's important to, like this retreat. I feel like a lot of the brothers and sisters that are not here today are probably missing out, because think about all the excitement we have here, how we're able to devote our time to God's word, and we have special time to fellowship with brothers and sisters. Otherwise, you know, on Sundays, we worship, and maybe at most we eat lunch and then we go home. This allows us to build that relationship that we sorely need for us to work together. Last week, we were talking about being one, unity. If we don't spend time together, how do we get there, right? So I think that's why relationship matters, is because we need to make sure that it is not just transactional. I don't want to just get a call from a brother because he wants something done. And when we get to that point, it's purely transactional. There's no relationship. How often do you call a brother and say, hey, how are you doing? I've been thinking about you. But that takes effort and a gathering like this, a retreat, can help initialize or start that relationship, start to build that relationship. Go to the next slide. Going back to the verse that we read earlier in Psalm 27, I pulled out two verses. Verse 8, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. You have said, this you is God. God said, seek my face. God initiated that request. God initiated that relationship building. Now, this is a Psalm of David. David is, in the Bible, called, I think Samuel called him, when it first, that term, the man after God's own heart, first was Samuel said that. Samuel said to Saul, God has replaced you. He's replaced you with a man after his own heart. And so, God said, initiated that building of the relationship. He said, seek my face. What do you think seek my face mean? Does God really have a face? Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's the spirit. He's spirit. God is spirit. But I think to me, it means that God wants us to be before him, to be setting our eyes on him. God wants us to be face to face. Just like when you're talking to your friend, you're eye to eye, you're in front of the person and you're conversing. I think the same way God wants that. He said, seek my face. And in verse 4, you can see that David's heart, what his heart is about. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. That one thing is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Can you see David's heart? He wants to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Doing what? Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Gaze. Staring, eyes fixing on Jesus, on the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. I don't know if I can adequately describe the beauty of the Lord. I don't think my vocabulary is large enough to describe that. But I think David sees it in his heart, and that's what he desires. How does that, I remember as I was a young Christian, I observed some of the brothers that are before me, and I said, how can they love the Lord so much? How come I didn't have that? So one of the things that I have always wanted is to be like David, have a heart after God's own heart. So it is still a work in progress. I think seeking his face is what God wants. God wants that intimate relationship with his children. And we are that. We are his children. So where are we in that process? And what does seeking mean to you? I have to apologize a little bit. Because in the next couple of slides, I might get a little mixed up here. So let's. Building relationships. Let's talk about that. I think this is not only applies to us building relationship with God. It also applies to building relationship with others, other brothers and sisters. Initiate. If others do not initiate, it is probably up to us to initiate. Because to get something started, somebody needs to do something. If nobody does anything, nothing happens. God did something. God told David, seek my face. So I'm probably the one who needs to work on this most. Sometimes pick up the phone and call a brother. Brother with brothers. I'm not referring to sisters because I think they do that all the time. They do that anyway. It's us brothers that have this trouble in picking up the phone and just talking. We are purpose driven. Okay, so if I pick up the phone, I usually ask them, "Hey, we need this done. Can you do it?" So we're all project-oriented, goal-oriented. But that doesn't build relationship. I think brothers need more work along this line. Sisters, I think they're already there. We can learn something from sisters in building relationships. Time. Do we take time to do that, to build relationship? I say many times we want to spend time on ourselves. Time is one of those commodity. Everybody has time, but everybody has the same amount, right? You don't have more time than I do. It depends on how you use it. And are we using it and things that are beneficial. We spend a lot of time on our phone, playing with our phone, right? Looking at text, and there's a lot of things that we probably could improve by spending more time, even a couple minutes. I'm not talking about hours. I'm talking about just, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Then authenticity and vulnerability. I'm just as much to blame as, you know, when you run into someone, somebody say, "Hey, how are you?" "Good, I'm good." Right? That's the typical response. Is it good? Are you really good? We just didn't want to go into something or open up. Be vulnerable. It's okay. I think you're among family. You're among brothers and sisters. Again, it's something that I need a lot of work on. Community. Being around brothers and sisters and encourage each other helps, right? Because if you're just by yourself, a lot of times I do less when I'm all alone. When we're with brothers and sisters, we wanna we're cleaning the church or raking leaves. It's a lot more fun to do it in a community than to just go out there and do it yourself. Solitude. I would say that's mostly with God. You need to spend alone time with God. Maybe alone time with your spouse. Those are the times when you could be as intimate with your Father in heaven, because He already knows your problems. You don't even have to say it. He already knows it. So don't need to pretend it is not there, right? You can be as intimate as you want when you're alone with the Father. You know, don't air all your dirty laundry when you're in a group prayer, right? So you have solitude time with God, and that is something that we could use. And the next slide, personal relationship. David seeks his presence. I think in his faith, seek God's face also means to be in his presence. Because you can't see his face if you're not with him. So seek his face also means his presence. God wants to be with us. He's Emmanuel. God, He wants to be with us. His presence gives us this peace during chaos. So if we can, He is there all the time. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. A lot of times we just don't feel His presence because our minds are too cluttered up about our current situation. But if we can just learn to be in His presence in the moment, then His peace will help us Identity rooted in love, not performance. In our relationship with God, with brothers and sisters, sometimes we feel like we have to perform because we're not performed up to our standard or what we think our standard is. But God isn't that way. God doesn't care about a performance. God cares about our heart more so than how we can perform. I want to maybe just skip to the last slide. So if we walk away today in this sharing, how would you respond to God's asking? God wants us to seek his face. How would you respond? And for our relationship between brothers and sisters, seek to reach out. Be the first one to reach out. Be vulnerable. And I think when we open up and when we become vulnerable, people will reciprocate. Brothers will reciprocate, will do the same thing. So, and make sure that's brothers and sisters and sisters. I like to see more interaction between brothers and sisters, not just in a transactional mode. We're not just doing things for doing things' sake. Maybe we don't need to do anything. Just, you know, sit and do things. And maybe brothers play pickleball. Build a relationship, play pickleball. I mean, I think brothers like to do things together. It's more the way of building relationships. Versus sisters probably want to talk. When I think the church will grow when we have good relationship with each other, and when we don't know. When we know there's something going on in another brother's or sister's life, I know this church, they would do everything. This is a very loving church, and they will go out and lend a hand. They would care, and they would serve. But if we don't know, then we don't know. Then we become further and further apart. I don't know. Going back to Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. This is when the early church, the lives of the Christians at that time, the verb, the action word, is they devoted They devoted. They dedicate their time. They take the time. And I think somewhere it says daily. Actually, at this, with our church, way back when means probably a half a century ago, we have brothers and sisters that we are together almost every day. After work, we just go to some, you know, take turn, go to someone's house, and everybody eats there. And sometimes it's potluck, sometimes someone would cook. And after that, we'll listen to some teachings on tape. We do that almost every day. Very similar to what this verse is saying. And over time, that stopped. Same thing because when we started more looking at our own needs, because, well, we now have a family, I gotta go take care of my kids. If we can just bring I'm not saying we need to do it every day, but more often, let's make an effort I think some small group pockets are doing that. If it becomes more widespread, I think a church would be tighter, and people will see the love that is in this church, and it attracts more people to come to hear the gospel. It becomes a life testimony. Now, we don't have to say much, but through our action, people will see the love of Christ that is manifesting through our everyday life. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for all the things that you have done in this church. Lord, we have sometimes drifted away, but Lord, we thank you for this retreat, the theme about drawing near to you, about seeking you, about following you. And through that, we're building the body of Christ, that through your work, others can see that we are your disciples. Lord, we thank you for this time together. May your word remain in our hearts. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.